Hello and welcome to another episode of Coffee Corner Radio. We are here live in Hamburg at the DSHE Technology Days. First on-site live recording in person since TechEd 2019. And I have two famous SAP community members with me and SAP mentors. So first, Volker Putzek.
Hello.
And Gregor Wolf.
Servus miteinander.
Yeah. So, and my name is Martin Fischer. Sorry for not introducing myself. Yeah, we are at the end of day two of the 2 days event, DSAG Technologietage in German, Technology Days in English. And there's another more hands-on focused day coming tomorrow, which is called DSAG Tech Exchange. So it will be a first time tomorrow. So that's why we are still in the hotel, sitting in the hotel lobby. And yeah, we want to just talk about what happened the last 2 days here and give you a glimpse how cool SAP DSAG on-site events are. So maybe we start a bit with the keynotes yesterday. There was a joint keynote by Sebastian Westphal, the DSAG technology board member, and Jürgen Müller, not Klein, of course, CTO from SAP. I think a quite interesting format with a lot of technology on stage with holograms. Was quite impressive what they in terms of technology, the whole visual thing, and also a new format in terms of keynotes, because there was so in former times usually it was the DSAG keynote and afterwards the SAP keynotes, and now they did it more jointly, also in a more kind of a talk discussing different points. And yeah, I would say the main topics were kind of questions and statements from DSAG in the past where they asked for answers towards SAP. I personally pretty much liked the format. Your impressions, what do you think?
Yeah, same. So what I liked most was also the way they rehearsed and staged this. So the holograms, while Sebastian talked, were really very nice in place together with what he presented. So that kind of augmented everything he said. So very good use of technology, very, let's say, centric towards the audience. It was easy to follow along. And then what I also liked very much was the constructive dialogue between Jürgen Müller and Sebastian Westphal. It was not a one versus the other, but they, in a conversation, explained and talked around certain critical points that Sebastian identified and asked Jürgen on his opinion. And I think that's also a very good sign towards us, towards the entire community. Be cooperative and be constructive together.
Yeah, Gregor, your thoughts? So sorry, if there are some talk pauses in between, we are sharing two headsets. So yeah, but yeah. I already like on-site podcast recording.
Yeah, it's directly looking in your eyes and feeling the interactions.
That's and having really a nice joint beer here.
Genau. We do a selfie for the show notes.
Yeah.
Genau. Yeah, so like from the presentation style, I kind of liked like the hologram stuff with like a matrix flying around and in the setting. But it, in some way for me, it feels like a more distant thing, because the hologram was between like the presenter and the audience, so that made a little bit of a distance. From my highlight was really that the presentation we as the sub mentors already seen last week was also shown now to a bigger audience. It was a demo of Joule doing like a travel booking with also additional checks, like or like being context aware. I want to also have like some holidays after in Barcelona. That was really nice. But I talked to other community members and they said, yeah, wasn't that also what Copilot did some years ago? So that could be a bit of a low light, but the really low light for me was there was an announcement for the Adobe Document Service, how to bring that on-prem, because the current like runtime is NetWeaver Java. And that will run out end of 2027, as we know. And there is now a need for a replacement to heavy loads, a much throughput document creation.
Low latency, especially if you are in a whatever plant where you have a lot of labels, for example, to
exactly.
print.
Yeah. Exactly. And like the answer that Jürgen gave to the audience was like, we will provide that in HANA XSA, which I was very surprised of. And I think maybe that's not the right way to go. I thought the way they do now with cloud integration, they have the so-called local integration cell, which provides you this local runtime environment as a container, which you can run on many supported Kubernetes environments. And I think the same procedure should go also for the Adobe Document Service. You control it from the cloud, you upload there your templates. The templates are then distributed to local container runtimes wherever you want to deploy them. And they are just a runtime. You have an API endpoint that your ABAP system can talk to, your S4HANA on-prem, and then you connect it to the print environment, whatever is your output management.
Yeah, it makes totally sense what you said, and I felt the same. It was like, okay, is it even wondering, is it still there? I mean, XSA, I would say SAP called it usually feature complete, if I'm not mistaken on this, and I was also surprised that there will be a new solution based on that technology, which... Yeah, sounds a bit weird.
Yeah, it felt like a dead horse is remounted.
Yeah, as we say in Germany.
Yeah, with a new rider. So this felt kind of strange. And talking about lowlights and highlights, I mean, highlights, we obviously said that the presentation style set new standards, especially compared to certain other keynotes. but also another, for me personally, lowlight was the argumentation chain around why there's only AI invention coming to S4 public cloud. So the rationale behind this was, according to Jürgen Müller, there's 24,000 customers who are doing AI in some sort of way, and only 1% of those customers supposedly do it on premises. That's why SAP decided we're only going to bring the inventions to S4 public cloud. And Jürgen Müller even said, quote, the customers decided that. Now, if you were to ask me, where is AI on-premise in SAP? I do not know where these numbers supposedly come from. I mean, they obviously need to be there. Otherwise, it would be very strange. But at the same time, this feels like a constructed argument to me, I have to say.
Yeah, that applies for the whole RISE Premium Plus story with the whole licensing stuff around this, and that customers only get that latest innovations like AI and also the sustainability solutions if they are a RISE customer and signed that Premium Plus package. Well, I don't see any technical arguments behind that. I just see commercial arguments in the end, and cloud adoption arguments behind that. And in my opinion, I think a bit more honesty would there be a good thing. I think you can't fool customers on those. Especially if there's a technology audience like here, people know. What's technically possible and what's effect and what is just kind of messaging in the end.
Yeah, like in the happy hour, I talked to Peter Körmer from Red Hat, and they have this, is it OpenStack? No. Also a Kubernetes environment, and he talks about also that they offer the possibility to run AI use cases on this environment. Like you put in some graphic cards from Intel or NVIDIA, and then you can use this functionality to build your machine learning use cases, AI use cases, completely on-prem. And that is important for some customers who have use cases. Yeah, keep it private until we have a patent for something.
And I almost found it a little bit unfair to put the argument onto the customer side, saying it's the customers who were doing AI on premises decided that SAP is only supposed to do it in the cloud now. This kind of felt close to unfair to me, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fully agree, as I said, and I covered that also in several episodes with Holger Müller in the past, where I think, as I said, would be just a bit more honest that it's mainly in the end driven by the financial markets. What I suppose, if I also watched the press conference about the quarterly and yearly results in January, and of course the financial analysts liked all that. But I'm also not 100% convinced if that is the right way to go forward for SAP in the end, because customers are more or less forced, and please SAP don't fool them in the end.
Yeah, but it's also to like the stock market rise of SAP is like just following the market mainly. It's not like they get additional 10% or more from like the good numbers they're provided. So the general market is raising. So I want to continue with something like from the first day. There were then the breakout sessions, and really a well-attended one was, it had a great title, Is the BTP the Holy Grail? And they directly started like after some 5 minutes that it's, of course, it's not the Holy Grail, but they made a really good statement and checked all the possibilities that are really usable. They're going into cloud integration. That was the Döhler Group, by the way, who presented that.
No, Dürr.
Dürr. Sorry. Yeah, it was not Döhler, it was Dürr. Yeah. And that was really a good overview about the use cases looked into and the cases they're using it now in their projects.
Yeah, I also liked the session. I think they were around 400 people in the audience. That was very, very well attended. And in general, so if people don't know the DSAG technology days, how that all works. So after the keynotes, there are usually breakouts in different topic groups or special interest groups. That's how DSAG is organized. We were, I think, all three mainly attending the ones around development, UI, BTP, and DevOps in the end. They were all very, very well attended, I must say. So I didn't join all of them, but most of the time the hall was very good. There were a lot of people in the rooms.
Yeah, and you have to say it was a sold-out event. So 3,000 people on site. I felt a bit like a class reunion of 2019. So prior to COVID, now we all meet again, finally, not in Barcelona, sadly, but in Hamburg, of course, also a very nice city. Still, only the attendance and also the way we were talking amongst each other clearly showed there's a demand for an on-site face-to-face event where you get to meet not only your colleagues, but also get to into direct contact with the colleagues from SAP, where you can talk straight about technical stuff and probably also about business issues. So the need is there. And this event, I think the attendance clearly showed this.
Yeah, I fully agree. What's actually missing is just the international connections we used to have at TechEd with the Dutch people, for example, with the whole guys from UK, and there was always such a fun event, and I would like to see that it's coming back one day, but my hope is rather limited nowadays.
Speaking about this coming back, and another in-person event for developers, or the in-person event for developers, is this year's Code Connect. So in case none of your listeners or any of your listeners haven't heard about this, it's the combination between Recap, UI5Con, and ABAPConf Europe. It's happening in the first week of June. So June 4th is Recap, June 5th is UI5Con, June 6th is ABAPConf, and preceded all of that on Monday, June 3, with a code jam on remote service consumption. And if you head over to code-connect.dev, There's the internet address, sort of the portal where you can then jump to the individual conference websites. Call for Proposals is open. Given that this is going to be the only major in-person tech event for the SAP Ecosphere this week, this year, not this year, you might want to be quick once the registration opens. So this is going to be in March sometime, by the way.
Yeah, it's going to happen in St. Leon Road, and the two of you are at least part of the recap organizing committee, or Volker, of course, also UI5Con, yeah.
Yeah, well, I tried to help, but Margot is the mother of UI5Con.
Yeah, I know. No, really, also looking forward to it. It's very good to have that in-person event back. And yeah, I would also like to see that there are more SAP developers, the internal developers, that they have the chance to attend that kind of events, because I think... yeah, it would help them to connect to the community and to the customer base and understand the needs better and the discussions going on here. I think that's also something which is missing since COVID hit us. Yeah.
I want to come back to one of the highlights and also a bit of lowlight, because I'm looking also with a partner view to the topics. And I was attending the Cloud ALM with open
telemetry,
right? Open telemetry session that was really also well attended and provided also like the what is possible already. And SAP presented that SaaS solutions that SAP provides will be equipped also with open telemetry that will provide data in the Cloud ALM sub-accounts or Cloud ALM accounts of the customer. Then also customers can add some additional libraries to their Java or Node.js-based applications they deploy on BTP. Can be CAP applications, but also like general purpose Java or Node.js applications. So SAP provides the libraries, and that will provide you insights into logging, into visibility like memory usage and so on in your Cloud ALM. Unfortunately, it's a part of like partners who want to provide like multi-tenant apps and also want to give their customers insights is not yet covered. Yeah, so that is a missing link yet. Again, partners, there is another topic that partners can still not offer their solutions to be subscribed in an existing customer sub-account. So if you subscribe to a partner solution, it's always a new sub-account. You have to connect your identity management to, you have to connect your cloud connector to. So it's additional effort you have to put into. And so it's a step that holds back, of course. And then the third dimension of the partners missing out a bit is currently no offering that you can use supported to provide a launchpad-like experience. So like build Workzone as a central entry point, if you want to provide that, because you don't write it on your own, you want to have a role-based access to your partner solution, but that's currently not possible on the price list. SAPs then can still do it, but not partners.
Yeah, I think there's also some room for improvement in the whole positioning and features, especially for partner solution leveraging BTP as a platform. Yeah,
but talking about leveraging BTP, another kind of surprising to me, at least, insight I gained at the conference here was around the integration suite. So I attended the customer influence session. And there, what we pretty much all knew is that the standalone event mesh service is in some sort going to change on BTP. And if I understood it correctly, so that's a disclaimer, if I understood it correctly, the current event mesh service will transfer into Integration Suite as a commercial offering by the end of Q2 this year. So you will not be able to purchase it standalone anymore after Q2. There's going to be a sort of a customer-based protection. If you've already purchased it, you can still use it. But we'll see about this. I'm not yet convinced, I have to honestly say. But then what also surprised me even more is that there's an additional offering called the Advanced Event Mesh, which I thought was always part of the Integration Suite, but it seems not. So
no, it wasn't.
It wasn't. So yeah, I was always of a different opinion. Yeah. So I thought Integration Suite comes with Advanced Event Mesh, but it does not. It will come with the regular Event Mesh. And then even more sort of, I wouldn't say strange, but at least surprising is that both the regular Event Mesh and the Advanced Event Mesh are built on top or have a Solace as a basis. So it's essentially the same product with two different additions, licensing models, who knows? So that would probably be another opportunity where less is more, offer one version of the Event Mesh and make it purchasable standalone based on Solace, have an optional integration into Integration Suite. That would something be of that could be very well perceived by customers. Let's put it this way. So I put in that motion at the inside track there. If that influence session. If that will lead to anything, we'll see. But I was a little bit surprised. Let's put it this way.
Yeah. I agree. But I had to look earlier. I think it was 3 years back in a customer project into that whole setup and pricing commercial model in that area. It was a bit confusing, and the bundles were rather big than small, so customers needed to go the full Integration Suite to leverage Advanced Event Mesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And talking about integration, something else might be interesting to all the listeners. What I also, again, disclaimer, I perceived or got to know there was about SAP Mobile Start. So they're consuming, or SAP Mobile Start, for those who do not know, it's a sort of the, let's put it, it's the Fiori client in a different shape.
Which
runs on all sorts of mobile devices and cross-platform, and offers an entry point for your SAP system landscape. And I got to know that they're currently able to integrate the SAP Start APIs and the SAP WorkZone, Standard Edition APIs, but the Advanced Edition is not yet in. So if you have the need of exposing your Advanced Edition pages, spaces in SAP Mobile Start, there's still some way to go and a little bit to wait throughout the year.
Okay, yeah, I didn't hear that, but that's interesting that the advanced thing is not able to integrate with Mobile Start.
Yeah, it seems to be an API issue. The session on Mobile Start wasn't a really big tech deep dive, even though these were the technology days, but the message was clear. So Advanced Edition in SAP Mobile Start is still going to take some time.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. Interesting insights. So any more highlights or things to mention?
Well, I just have to say personally what I liked again is that many colleagues from SAP partner organizations such as Microsoft, such as Neptune, such as Simplifier were there, and they were all approachable, and it was a really easy way to get in touch for both customers and other developers. So that again proves the in-person events are invaluable in that regard. And also colleagues from SAP obviously were there, and they offered the influence sessions where you could directly voice your opinions, that I think was also very well perceived. So the format of people being on-site, people being able to utilize all communication channels to communicate with each other, There's a charm to this that you just cannot get with virtual events.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, we are all three since ages in the ecosphere, and yeah, I think for all of us it's the same. You're just walking somewhere, and you always need to add some additional time because you're sure you meet somebody who you didn't talk. Probably since years, and it's always running into people all the time, and you are not able to have all the discussions you want to have, even if you attend the hotel bar in the evening. It's not enough time to finish all that conversations, and that's definitely something which didn't happen in the virtual event thing. I mean, no doubt about the possibility to deliver learning content in a virtual format, but that on-site events, that discussions, and also during the at the end of the sessions, all the Q&A sessions were always also very vivid in the end, very vital discussions going on. And I was in my working group, the DevOps group, there was one about the GCTS, for example, where the presenter, Sven Reutler, talked about the ABAP Git and GCTS, or the Git-enabled CTS system. And there was a lot of questions also about the ecosystem topics which drive all of us, like the ABAP container, Docker container, which is available again. And there you also can really go into the details. That's not possible in the virtual format. And I just love that exchange, even if you kind of completely done after that 3 days here, but yeah, that's great.
You know, I forgot one really highlight this morning was the Lufthansa group together with SAP. So I presented on Fiori Elements, and there how they started since Lufthansa does it now since 2 years. And what they really also always presented then was information that SAP provides. There is the demo apps, which are actually called the showcase applications, where there is a showcase application for CUP, or CUP based, so you can just clone the Git repo, get it started, and then you have the sample application with all the bells and whistles features. Don't be overwhelmed when you start it, because it will completely flush you. It's just it wants to show you what is all possible, and then they described it. They go to the business, they ask them, hey, here is our potpourri of possibilities, what you like. And then they directly go to the documentation, and then they used it and showed an example how they use it for ADT and with RAP. And also there is a showcase application. And just take the code, paste it in your, adjust it a little bit, and then you have the feature in there. So that was really my highlight today.
Yeah, I have to add to this. It was impressive because they're running a whole lot of applications, and obviously also business critical ones. It's Lufthansa in the end. What was also clearly communicated was that for the 80% use case, Fiori Elements works well and is a quick solution and a quick enablement. But for the rest of the 20% to achieve 100% or close to 100%, this takes 80% of the time. So it's always been the same message, of course. Fiori Elements has a dedicated use case, but it only has that dedicated use case if you want to look at it negatively, but it has that dedicated use case if you want to look at it positively. I think that was also clearly communicated and proven in practice. And by the way, I'm talking about UI5 apps in production. There is a poll going on currently, launched by the DSAG Special UI Committee in combination with the UI5 community, about exactly that. So what kind of flavors of UI5 based apps are you running in production? The poll will run all the way through to UI5Con, and you can still answer it. There's about more than 130 answers so far, but there cannot be enough. The more answer, the better it is. The more complete, in quotes, the picture will be. And we're going to post that link in the description of this episode.
Yeah, of course. We will put it into the show notes, of course. Great. Thanks to mention that, Volker. Yeah. Any other topics to mention? On the 2 days, or should
famous we, last words?
Famous last words. Or should we do a preview on tomorrow, Volker? Maybe
Volker, you can do better, because I do a special private edition of the Tech Exchange. For the good friends, yeah.
the paying good friends, I hope. to be clear, there's a customer workshop happening for Gregor tomorrow. Yeah, Volker, I think you also do a workshop tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
Not really. I'm just going to be there and helping the Microsoft colleagues to showcase a CAP on Azure.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so... but with the full-blown picture, so provisioning the full infrastructure along also with authentication and authorization. So at least to show how technology agnostic CAP in its core is and how well it is done, so it can run on Azure as well, of course. So that's going to be interesting. But at the same time, there's going to be other great sessions like Do Your Own Chat GPT by the Microsoft colleagues. There's going to be UI5 presentation by Peter Musik, who came here just for this. Then there is, I think, also ABAP-centric sessions about...
ABAP Cloud.
Yeah, ABAP Cloud-centric sessions. So tomorrow it seems to be like a really hands-on kind of a thing.
And also the Microsoft guys are pretty busy tomorrow because I will also run a workshop together with Holger Brodel from Microsoft in the afternoon. We call it the No-Code, Low-Code Challenge, where the participants can... get the experience that you also can combine two different no-code, low-code platforms. In this case, of course, Neptune DXP and the Power Platform, where we do an integration between SAP and the Microsoft O365 platform Teams in the end, and leveraging Neptune DXP and the Power Platform in the end. Yeah.
That's probably also a good note for me, at least for the famous last word. So I learned that throughout the keynote yesterday and also confirmed today was that the SAP Cloud Identity Management, the SAP Identity Management Solution for the on-premise stack will be sunset, run out, whatever you want to call it, in 2029, if I'm not mistaken, 2027.
I don't know exactly,
but
in most of the times it's 2027.
Yeah, and SAP, according to Jürgen Müller at least, signed a deal with Microsoft while claiming intent to support Microsoft Entra ID, formerly known as Azure AD, to be the cloud or the generic identity solution supported for SAP stacks.
Yeah. Also very interesting one. Mm. Okay. So famous last words, something to add?
Beer is empty. So I can hand it to Gregor for his last statement.
All three glasses are empty now. Yeah,
yeah, we have to get some new ones. So we close it here.
Yeah. So Volker, Gregor, thank you very much for the first on-site recording of Coffee Corner Radio in almost 5 years, not 4.5. Now, but it was a pleasure to having you here, and I think we will continue, and I hope we will record many more on-site podcasts this year already. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us, Martin.
Well, great. Thanks. Goodbye.
Goodbye.